for those of you who are just coming down for this season, we had, even by Florida standards, a fairly warm summer, believe it or not. It's kind of hard for some people to understand how Florida could not have a warm summer, but for us people that live here around, it was even a warmer summer than usual. So this cool weather actually is kind of nice. I began last week sharing with you about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and what were some lessons that Father Sam Shoemaker, who was one of the founders of AA, learned about that ministry and what we could learn from AA as a church. And so this is the second in that series, and I share the following story. Bill W. and Dr. Bob, the first AA members, met in Akron, Ohio when Bill was being tempted to take a drink. They spent time talking about the issues of alcoholism, and from that solitary moment, AA began and has since blossomed into numerous meetings that have helped over 2 million problem drinkers. On any given day in Collier County, right here, there are approximately 40 meetings one could attend morning, noon, and night. I know because I work with a lot of different people that are part of AA, and they tell me about all the meetings that they go to. So it's pretty amazing. For someone just starting AA, there's a popular affirmation that goes like this: 90 meetings in 90 days. Yep, 90 meetings in 90 days. So you see, sobriety is a priority for them. And a good friend I have in this church, shares this with a smile on his face. And he's worked with a number of people who have just begun AA or other recovery groups. And one of the things he did in his own sobriety, and he's encouraged other people in their journey in their sobriety, is to really be committed to it at the beginning. You know, I shared with you last week that it takes about 2 weeks to build a habit. But if you really want to build something for a lifetime, especially with an addiction like AA or alcohol or whatever it might be, this theme, 90 meetings in 90 days, is a great principle to go by. To really build a habit in your life over 90 days would be a habit, I think, that could last for a long time. So what's the second principle that Father Shoemaker wanted to share with us about what the church could learn from AA? Well, it's simply this: people are redeemed in a life-changing fellowship. That people need to be around a group of people that are heading in the same direction that they want to go in. And so the important reality that he celebrates in this principle is that the people that we're in relationship with affect our life, whether we realize it or not. And so someone who's trying to be sober probably wouldn't want to go meeting with his buddies at a bar. It just wouldn't be a good idea. That'd be a little bit too close to the edge. But to meet with a group of people, say, here at St. John's, some of the AA and NA groups that meet throughout the week, that would be a good place to be. Because you're meeting with a like-minded group of people in fellowship that are encouraging you in your sobriety. That's why Bill W. and Dr. Bob met, because Bill W., in that moment of being tempted to take a drink, for whatever reason he was, he needed the support of someone who could say to him, "You don't want to do that. That's the wrong choice." And that's exactly the kind of people that you need in your life if you're going to move in the right direction. People are redeemed in a life-changing fellowship. Father Sam shares the following: AA does not expect to let anyone who comes in to stay as they are. I could just stop right there. I love that. They know they are in need and must have help. His soul gets in order by trying to help other people get their souls in order with the help of God. At once, a new person takes their place in this life-changing fellowship. He may be changed today and out working tomorrow. No senseless delays about giving away what he has received. The fellowship that redeemed him will wither and die unless he and others like him get in and keep the fellowship moving and growing by reaching others. An AA member recently shared that they could stay away from a veterans meeting, American Legion meeting, or church, and nobody would notice it. But if he stayed away from an AA meeting, his phone would begin to ring the next day. This brings us to our second lesson today in Hebrews today. Toward the end of that particular part of Scripture, we hear the author of Hebrews encouraging us with the following words. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Right? And what the author of Hebrews is talking about, he's not talking about an AA meeting. It didn't even exist back then. He's talking about the church. He's talking about people gathering together in fellowship even then. So isn't it amazing that even way back then, people were playing hooky from church? On Sunday morning, I like to call it, people are busy worshiping at the Church of the Holy Mattress rather than St. John's Episcopal Church. we'll find all kinds of excuses about why we can't go to church. And being pastoral in nature, I try to be sensitive about the CNEs, the Christers, the ones that go to only come to church Christmas and Easter, right? The Christers. I got to be sensitive to them, but I also need to be challenging to them about, it's important that you don't forsake the assembling of yourself with other believers, because it strengthens your spiritual life. And again, I'm so grateful that many of you are not in that camp. You're faithful worshipers. I see you here more often than not. You're at other activities, and I think that's awesome. But one of the things I want to encourage you in is that in addition to coming to worship here on a Saturday or a Sunday, however that might be for you, I would encourage you to maybe think about other opportunities for fellowship where you actually get to know other people more. Whether it's a Bible study, whether it's foyers, I'm going to do the clipboards in just a little bit for that. It might be a ministry in this church. It could be the lay readers. It could be ushers. It could be the altar guild. It could be any one of a number of things where you actually get to know other people and they get to know you. This is the kind of fellowship that is present in AA that's life-changing, because you really have to get to know somebody before your life is changed. And they really have to get to know you. It's called friendship. It's called connection. It's called love. It's called being together. And again, I don't know about you, but growing up in the church, we went to church because that's what you were supposed to do when I was young. But I have to be honest with you, as growing up in the church, I really didn't know anybody else that was around me in the pews. I mean, I didn't know them. And actually, if I was to be honest with you, I was kind of scared of them because I didn't know them. I mean, it's just, I was a kid, I wasn't sure about them. Sometimes when we exchanged the peace, we wouldn't even shake hands. You just kind of look at each other and kind of nod your head, and that was about it. And that was the connection during the service. That was as deep as it got. That is not a life-changing fellowship. That is not a life-changing fellowship. That's not what the author of Hebrews is talking about. Yes, our lives are changed as we come together and we worship the Lord and we praise Him and we receive the Holy Eucharist. Absolutely, our lives are changed. But one of the ways our lives are changed as well is in relationship with one another. The Lord said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They both go together. And so you need to take time to get to know people in the pews that are by you. You just need to do that, because that's part of the life-changing fellowship. That's part of God's love touching your heart and my heart in very powerful and substantial ways. And you see, the people in AA get that, because they need to change. They need to stop drinking. They need a sponsor to walk along with them. They need that group of people to share their stories and also be an encouragement to them. And you know what? I just have a message for you. You and I need that in the church too. We need somebody encouraging us in our spiritual journey. We need to be able to talk to somebody when we're struggling with maybe a sin, even in a general way, that they might pray for us. We need to be able to share with someone who can come alongside us and be with us in our dark hours and as well as our times of celebration. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't know other people in the church is because they don't take time to get to know each other. It's not complicated. You know how to do it. You know how to do it. We just have to take time with one another. And that's how lives are changed, in our fellowship with one another. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. But take time to get to know one another. Coming here is not about getting your ticket punched for the week. Because for me growing up, that's what it was about. That's how I can say that, because that's what it was about. That's what I was taught. But what I came to learn over time is it had absolutely nothing to do with that. But it really had to do with connection, relationship with the Almighty, with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and relationship with one another that was real and transforming and powerful. So AA and the church, what can we learn from AA? They have regular group meetings. 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm not even asking you to come to church every day for 90 days. Look at the bright side of this message right now. I'm just asking you to talk to each other. That's all I'm asking. My God, I can't believe he asked us to talk to each other. I can't believe he asked us to get to know each other. The nerve of some priests. 90 meetings in 90 days. And let me tell you something. As that brother shared that with me who's done that, he had the biggest smile on his face because he was free from alcohol for the first time in his life. He was free. And this fellowship was part of him becoming free. He was excited about going to the meetings. He wanted to go to the meetings. I couldn't have kept him away from the meetings if I wanted to. He was going to go. Because that fellowship saved his life. Smaller groups where you can actually share about who you are as a person. Soul-changing fellowship. How about that? You'll know you're in the right group. You'll know you're with the right friends when there's a soul change happening in your life. There's a sign. Caring phone calls. When was the last time you called somebody that you hadn't seen in church for a while? Never? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I do it because I'm the priest. And even then, I got to be careful because it's, oh, is he checking up on me and stuff like, you know how that works. I mean, I just got to be careful about how I do that too and be pastoral about it, right? But it comes out of genuine heart. It comes out of, you know what, where have you been? You're going to be in trouble. It's not like that at all. But it's an interesting question, isn't it? It's an interesting observation. They could have missed the Legion meeting. They could have missed the veterans meeting. They could have missed church. And nobody ever would have called them. But if they missed the AA meeting, somebody would have called them the next day. That is a life-transforming fellowship. That is caring. And that is a very, very important lesson that you and I need to learn from AA. Amen.